All right, everyone here on the North South Connection Podcast Network, JT, thanks for joining me. We have a very special pod blast for you, and kind of a blast from the past for me. It's been a while since I've talked to this dude. He is one of my longtime close personal friends, as some may say. He is the one and only John Walters. John, how you doing?
Hey, Justin. Nice to see you, buddy. Or hear you.
You too, pal. It's been a while. It's been a minute. I was supposed to come see you in a big return match, and I threw my back out. Was it like 2 years ago? And I still am upset at myself for missing it.
You've always been extremely reckless.
That's true. Extremely reckless past and lifestyle. But, John, you're returning to the ring March 14th against Mark Haskins, our Ring of Honor past versus present in Las Vegas. So talk to me, because you've been, I'll say, like semi-retired, I guess, kind of in and out. You had stepped away for a while, then you got back in the ring. You did a little mini tour, and you've kind of been back in the periphery of the business. But what brought you on the radar of Ring of Honor to get you back in the ring on the 14th?
Yeah, I mean, nobody retires from wrestling. So anytime somebody retires from wrestling, they're either making an emotional decision or they're lying, because nobody retires. So I always told myself that I would never retire from wrestling. I would never announce a retirement, do a retirement tour. I would just stop taking bookings. So that's kind of what I did a few times. This is probably the third time I did it. You know, sometimes it's just not in you. You don't want to do it. You need to rest your body, whatever the reason is. And that's what I decided to do. And about a year and a half ago, I came back after a four-year absence, minus one show I had done in New Zealand, about 2 years in between my little hiatus there. But I made a little return to the New England area, like you were just saying, show that you missed, and did some shows for Beyond Wrestling and Chaotic Wrestling, and there was no real reason for doing them. I just was asked if I wanted to do some shows. I said yes. Matches were good. I got good feedback and then got some other booking offers. So I just decided to give it a go. My body felt good, and I said, why not? As for the Ring of Honor show on the 14th, it was one of these deals where I just basically was contacted. Jay Lethal actually contacted one of my friends looking for my phone number. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to connect in person up in Tampa about the week that week. So what ended up happening was Lethal wasn't there at the event that we were both supposed to attend. So I ended up reaching out to him via Facebook Messenger because we were still friends on there, and I just asked him. I said, hey, I heard you're looking for me, and he told me, he said he wanted to recommend me for the Ring of Honor past versus present show, and that if he could pass my information on to the booker. I said, go for it, and then a couple days later they contacted me.
Awesome. So now, was Haskins their plan all along? Did that come together later? Was that something you had feedback or involvement in?
No. I never push my needs or my wants on a promoter or a booker. Someone's hiring you to be there. You just go. You do what they're told. Told. You wrestle who they want you to wrestle, and that's that. I have wrestled Mark Haskins before in England, but this is probably, oh man, I would say like 2005, 2006, when I did my first tour or second tour of the UK. I do remember wrestling a few times, but it's probably been 13 years since I've even seen him.
So a guy you feel like you'll have potential chemistry with, you expect in a bit of a styles battle, like what's your thought process going into this match as you prepare?
No, I've watched a few of his things, kind of trying to study him and catch up on the product itself, because I haven't really watched much wrestling at all in the past decade. But no, I don't expect a clash at all. I think it'll be good, and I can adapt to any style. And he does have a technical style with a little more hard hitting and a little more flying. So I think it'll be good. I think sometimes when two people do have opposite styles, I think sometimes that makes for better matches.
Mm-hmm. And the card is pretty stacked, so it's not like some throwaway random show. Like, this is a big one they got loaded up in Vegas, and it's a good spot for you to kind of make your comeback, I guess, to a wider audience. I mean, you had that run they commissioned last year, which is a big deal in the Northeast and for those in tune with Beyond and other independent promotions. But this is kind of a step up for you, right, as far as a comeback notoriety goes?
For sure, yeah. I mean, Ring of Honor, when I was involved back in the early 2000s, of course, they were the go-to independent promotion, and even calling them an independent promotion might be a stretch, because they, even though they were, it's where all the top independent stars were wrestling, so it was kind of more than just your average independent wrestling
super
promotion.
Super indie kind of thing, yeah.
Right, right. But back then it was independently owned, and now that it's on TV and it's more known, and then we're in the age now where everything is on Twitter and Facebook, and there's a bigger audience watching digitally. Mm-hmm. I think that it's definitely more eyes will be on the product than before. So definitely a new audience. I'm sure they've retained some fans from the old days, but I also think there's going to be a ton of new fans who probably won't know who I am, but now's the time to show them who I am.
Do you see this as a springboard to a longer return? Are you looking at this as a one-off? Have you not made that decision? You're going to see how you feel after the match, or what's your next step here for the career of John Walters in the ring?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm open to doing more shows. I think I want to see how my body feels physically. When I did my little return a little over a year ago, I felt fine. The last match I did twist my ankle pretty bad in the ring. Just a sprain. Within a week or two, it was back to normal. But physically, in terms of my wind and my endurance in the ring, I didn't feel much difference. Of course, you feel it as you age. I mean, I started wrestling 20 years ago, so I'm not going to be exactly the same as I was when I was 20, but you watch it on camera and you hear the feedback from the guys in the locker room. They say, oh, man, you look like you haven't missed a step. But you can tell when you have, because they can't feel what I'm feeling. And I'm definitely not a 20-year-old anymore, but you just kind of adapt and adjust your style and kind of really focus on what you can do and do it well instead of trying to do all this flying stuff. So you're not going to see me on the top rope, which I never really was known for doing that stuff anyways. But more of a technical mat-based style, which I've always kind of done, and we'll see how I feel after the match. I'm definitely open to doing more, but it's not necessarily my goal after this is to keep going, but we'll see how I feel.
I mean, you are getting old. That's a thing that's happening to you.
It sure is. Yeah.
It's quite old. God, it feels like yesterday, though. We were in theater class, John, and it actually wasn't that long ago. I threw on a copy of the Killer Kowalski Cystic Fibrosis Benefit Show that happened at Assumption College. And that was really one of your first kind of pro shows, right? We put it on in front of the student base at Assumption and raised some money. And I get to do some color commentary. You fought Slick Wagner Brown. There's some interesting stars on that card, like Aaron Stevens, who would go on to become Aaron Rex, and Damian Sandow was on that show in his very early days, and there's a few others peppering in there. It's kind of a cool little artifact that's in my personal library. But any quick stories and memories you want to tell from like your earliest days or getting to know Killer Kowalski or anything around the school?
I just remember being in college with you, and I don't know if did I know you before I started wrestling, or was it had I already started?
I think you
started
just,
my junior year.
Yeah, I think you had just started because we were in like TV communications class together. And we did this a couple of things together where I interviewed you and we had like a computer class together, but I think you had just started wrestling. I don't think we really were friends before that.
Yeah. You were basically you saw me as a wrestling star in the making and you piggybacked off me.
I had a glum on, you know, I saw the star power in front of me.
An opportunist from the beginning. Yeah. No, I just remember being passionate about it my whole life, being a big wrestling fan. I always would hang out with my friends, watch pay-per-views, try the moves on each other, mess around with my brother, and put figure fours on each other and actually really put pressure on each other, not knowing that it was a work. But, I just something that I kind of always in the back of my mind envisioned myself doing, but I just never really thought it was possible because I was very undersized. In high school, I weighed 140 pounds when I graduated. But after bulking up for football and realizing that Kowalski School was only an hour and a half from college, I said, well, why not give it a go? So I did. And I just remember the passion and the hunger guys had back then. And I'm not saying they don't now, but it was just a very different landscape then, getting into wrestling, getting booked for WWE. It was almost like you really had to pay your dues. And I'm not saying that guys don't now, but it just seems like there's just the avenues with all these contests and signing these athletes, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but mm-hmm. I just think back in the day it was just a different mentality, and guys really were more fans then than they are now. It seems like wrestling is a profession for people, and back then it was just really peak wrestling fans wanted to do it for a living. And when WWE did sign a lot of these guys that were longtime independents, stars, you see how well they adapted because they learned the ropes through working independent shows instead of just going straight to WWE. So I think that guys who started the old school way always kind of translated better. They became better stars than the guys that just kind of, you know, got fired from the NFL and went into wrestling. So.
Do you feel at all like, hey, maybe I came around like a little too early in your career? Because if you look at the type of wrestler that would later become, you know, stars, whether it's independent in promotions like Beyond or Ring of Honor later in the decade, and now pretty much have all migrated to like NXT. Do you feel like you belonged in that group, or do you feel like you're comfortable with where you arrived and where you've landed in your life? Or do you feel like, oh, if I came around 10 years later, maybe I'm more tied in with this group that would have been more in the spotlight in the current format where, like you said, there's more access to these promotions. When you were working around the country, like for me, even as someone who was actively searching out footage of you as a friend, it was hard. You know, it was a lot harder. I had hoped maybe there was a tape, or I'd have to record the velocity times you were getting squashed. But now you have access to all these promotions around the world via multiple avenues. Is there a part of you that wishes you were around 10 years later, so more of your work could have been seen, or are you comfortable with where you ended up?
Yeah, not necessarily. When WWE was interested in me, which was 2002, 2003, let's be honest, if I had gotten signed then, I would have been either not used at all or I would have been miserable. I think the landscape back then with the backstage nonsense and all of that other stuff, I don't think I would have been happy. Plus, I would have been the smallest guy on the roster. So it's different now. There's guys smaller than me on TV. So I think maybe I did start a little early, not start early, but just the way timing went.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I was a 10-year veteran now instead of a 20-year veteran and I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I don't think I'd have any issue getting a full-time job in wrestling right now because there are a lot more options other than WWE. But, no, I'm content in life, man. I guess I have a good life. I have invested my money. I've saved my money. I'm healthy. And I have peace of mind, which is something that a lot of people don't have even when you do have millions of dollars in the bank. So I'm happy. I'm content with where I'm at. If this little wrestling run I have now leads to something bigger, then great. If not, then I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing before. So, I'm good. I'm good. I don't have any care in the world really about anything. I'm got my health. That's number one. And I think everything happens for a reason. So who knows if I was getting more bookings now if I had some life-threatening injury or something like that. You know what I mean? So
yep.
I think that we can always look at, well, what if, and oh man, I wish I did this. I wish I had a run on TV, but look how many guys did and suffered for it. So, mm-hmm. I don't mess with my blessings. That's for sure.
No, it is a great mindset to have. And you know, you mentioned obviously you've saved well, invest well, and put yourself in a good position to have a successful, you know, whether it's retirement or not, or post-career, or next phase of your life. Any tips or pointers you want to give out there? I know you're obviously very vocal, we're friends on Facebook and social media, just kind of about the political world around us and how to always, you know, look out for yourself and put yourself first. Any tips you want to give to anyone out there maybe listening in the business or not about how you've successfully set yourself up for the second phase of your life or third because you are old?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to look at a president or a politician or whoever it might be and blame somebody else for your shitty life. But in the end, nobody can hurt you more than you can hurt yourself, I think. And I know a lot of people. I've got personal friends who will always bitch about not having money. They don't not have money because they didn't earn enough. They just spent too much. They didn't budget. There's work out there. There's jobs. There's sometimes it's not going to be the ideal job, but your goal is to put food on the table and to earn money. And a lot of people, I think, they have this entitlement where, well, I'm only going to make X amount of dollars, otherwise I'm going to stay home. And well, then don't bitch about wages and don't bitch about not having a house or a car. And I don't know. I mean, I grew up with immigrant parents who didn't have a dime when I was growing up, so you learn the value of a dollar quick that way. And I don't know. I just think it's important to just kind of stay focused on what you have and appreciate the opportunities you have instead of focusing too much on what the neighbor is driving. And The Millionaire Next Door, that's a good book to read, and I think people should definitely focus on accumulating wealth instead of trying to look rich. I mean, there's two big differences. There's a big difference between being rich and looking rich, and I think a lot of people have a hard time differentiating between the two. But as for me, post-wrestling, even when I was wrestling, I was just always trying to be sound and know what's going on in the world and just keep a clear mind.
So now we talked about being ahead of your time as John Walters and what could have been maybe on the indie scene. Do you think you were ahead of your time politically with RJ Brewer? Not that that stuff wasn't hot topic when you were doing it for Lucha Libre USA, but obviously even more divisive out there now. Is that something you'd even touch at this point with how divisive everything has gotten?
Oh, I would touch it even more now.
even more into it.
Because now, Lucha Libre USA, when my character took off, when I was on ABC, when I was on Nightline and cover of LA Times and Yahoo, that was after the TV show had run its course. I mean, we were on Hulu at that point. But when we were on MTV2, the character hadn't really taken off yet because the TV program was so short-lived. But if we had TV while I was getting all that mainstream press, I think it would have been a lot better. And then once Trump got elected and immigration kind of came back to the forefront of the political world, even though it always has been, I think that it would have been huge if we tied the two in together somehow. But again, life is all about timing. It just didn't work out. But I had fun playing the character. And I offended a lot of people, got a lot of hate mail. But, you know, that's what a bad guy does. He pisses people off. And I don't have any apologies for it or regret it. It was fun. Of course, RJ Brewer was a little more of a racist patriot than someone who's just, you know, anti-illegal immigration. Obviously, right. I pushed the button, but what kind of effective heel would I have been if I just went out there and said, hey, I don't like illegal immigration? No, I had to hit them where it hurt. So
it was a fun run. It was a unique show. And it was, again, I think a little ahead of his time for, you know, the stuff that would come after it. And just seems like you're always on the edge of things out there, right down to, bumping in theater class, throwing me around the room into the bookshelves. We were a little ahead of our time there.
We set the bar at that school. I don't think anybody's touched it since.
No, well, obviously not. 15 years ago, John, there was a Raw in Providence. You lost to Chris Masters. Any memories from that night? 15 years ago, about a week ago, on the 28th, February 28th in Providence. Kind of one of your most high-profile matches, right?
Yeah, I remember getting to the arena. A couple funny stories about that match with Chris Masters. I remember getting to the arena, and I remember Arn Anderson pulling me aside and apologizing to me, saying, "We want you to wrestle Chris Masters tonight." And he said, "If anybody can, really make him look good, we know it's you. And just be safe out there." And I remember like Paul London and Brian Kendrick, who are friends of mine, were saying, "Oh, what are you doing tonight?" I said, "I'm working with Chris Masters." They kind of patted me on the back and be like, "Oh man, be careful." So I was hearing all these stories about like, "Be careful." So I was like, "Oh, well, he's probably stiff or snug." And again, I wasn't really watching much wrestling at that time because I've never really been one to sit down and just watch wrestling on TV. Before I started wrestling, sure. And then when I first started, I would do it to kind of learn. But after that, I just didn't really care to watch it anymore. But I remember being in the ring and on the Titantron, they did a flashback to the week prior where Chris Masters had broke Stevie Richards' nose.
Yes.
And I saw it for the first time right there. And I was like, holy shit. So I remember coming off the ropes to take that little hammer that he threw, and I remember just sticking my chest out and putting my face way back so I wouldn't get hit in the face. And, you know, it was just a typical 3-minute squash. But the two things I remember is getting back to the locker room and having a text from Stevie Richards right away, right when I got back to the locker room, saying, "Hey, call me," because he wanted to see how it was. And I also remember Chris Benoit and I would converse a lot over online, and I remember him sending me a message on AOL Messenger, which was still a thing back then, just telling me that I sold great and that it was good and that one day somebody would do the same for me. He was always very encouraging to me. So that's all I really remember. Other than that, it was your typical wasn't my first time in front of a WWE audience for TV, but for Raw, I think it was. I had done a SmackDown match a couple times, but Raw, I think that was the only time I was on.
Yeah, that's a bit of an infamous squash, I feel like, out there. So it's always good to check in on it. So March 14th, Las Vegas. You excited to go to Vegas, or you flying in and out? What's your plan there?
Say it one more time. I didn't hear you.
Are you excited to be in Vegas, or are you going to fly in and fly out? That's it. You're done with that town?
I love Vegas, but I don't love it after 3 days. That's the most I can spend there. It's just not conducive to good health. I mean, you don't really sleep, you gamble, you drink, so you do everything bad there. And after a few days, you kind of, I could go probably once a month, but 3 days is usually the max I'll ever stay for. When I lived in California, I was a 3.5 hour drive from Vegas, and I would go every other month, and again, two nights, and I'd be good. But I'm flying in the night before and flying out the day after the show. So I'll be there for about 2.5 days. And I have some friends from California actually driving out to see the show who've never seen you wrestle. So that'll be fun. And catching up with a lot of those guys from Ring of Honor that are coming back or have been there since the beginning, who I haven't seen in a long time, like the Briscoes and Homicide and Lethal and those guys. Because, again, I haven't seen those guys in a long, long time. And they've always been fun guys to be around.
Well, like we mentioned, it's a pretty stacked up card, John. You and Mark Haskins, and on top looks like it's going to be Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, Xavier, and Jay Lethal. So it should be a good one. Check it out. March 14th, 6 o'clock, ROH Presents, Past versus Present, Las Vegas, Nevada, the second longest title reign ever for a pure champion. John Walters makes his return to Ring of Honor Wrestling. Johnny, it was exciting and happy to talk to you again, and hopefully maybe we'll catch you in Tampa. We'll see.
You as well, my friend. Always a pleasure.
All right, brother. Stay good.
Thanks. You too.